What's up, everybody? My name is Matt, and this is the Nintendo Fever Podcast, episode number 85. 85 episodes of me and Holly talking random Nintendo things, and today is going to be just like that, a bunch of random Nintendo things. And luckily, it's not just me spouting and rambling, but I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Holly. How have you been this week?
I've been pretty good this week. It's next week, though. That's exciting. The week. Oh, gosh, this is complicated. But the day after, or wait a minute, no. The day before this podcast is published, I will be at the Symphony of the Goddesses. So I will have attended that again. Exactly, to you listeners who are listening to this on Monday. Sunday, I went... I'm trying to speak in past tense now. I went to the symphony. I haven't done so yet, though, so...
You're excited
try
to
wrap
tell
your
us,
brain around that.
You're excited to tell us about the thing that you haven't done yet the next time we meet.
Yes, exactly. Okay. That'll be so fun to talk about again.
I think I got it right.
Hopefully the listeners did, too. Sorry about that, listeners.
No, I'm not at all. I hope you guys are hurting your brains right now trying to figure out what just happened. But we have a fun-filled show today. It's going to be pretty much basic, pretty simple. Nothing special necessarily. We're going to answer a listener question at the very end of the episode. But before that, we're going to be talking about the Pokemans. Who's that Pokemon? I'm that Pokemon. You're that Pokemon. We're going to talk about anything recent that we may or may not have purchased, things that are out this week that we should be playing, what we are actually playing. And then, like I said, we'll jump over to the listener question that we're going to talk about as well. But I guess let's go ahead and get started. I can't think of anything too special or crazy going on. So are you ready to guess who's that Pokemon, Holly?
I sure am. I'm going to get it in one guess this week asking my questions.
I was going to say, so does that count a question or not? Because I don't know how to count that. All right. Well, I'm ready to go, Holly. Ask away.
All right. First of all, what generation is it from?
This generation is gen number 2.
Generation 2. All right. What type or types is it?
It is a normal type.
All right. Does it evolve?
It does evolve.
Okay, does it evolve from or to something from where it's at?
It will only evolve into something from where it's at. That makes sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. So it's a base evolution,
yes.
And it doesn't evolve from anything?
Yes, yes. Oh, wow.
Well, crud. I had a couple of ideas, but now they're just gone. Like, I'm thinking, you know, Dunsparce, which is one of those kind of, I don't even know what you'd call that Pokemon, almost like a cult favorite.
Dunsparce?
Yeah, but it's not Dunsparce. I'm pretty sure that one does not evolve.
Considering I don't even know what the word is that you just said, I definitely don't think it's that one.
And then it can't be Miltank either, because that one doesn't evolve. Those were the two that kind of popped into my head. Let's see. Do you know anything about its evolution? I'm wondering if it changes types after it evolves.
Well, let me click, and I'll tell you if it does. It does not change types when it evolves.
So it goes from a normal to a normal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good heavens. Oh, I don't know what it is. And I feel pretty confident with Gen 2 as well. A normal type Pokemon that evolves. So is its evolution, like, does it evolve into, like, one Pokedex number next?
Let me check. Hold on.
Like one Pokedex number up?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yes, it is. It's just one above.
So they're right next to each other. Darn it, I was thinking it was maybe one of the baby Pokemon, which wouldn't work anyway, because I think both Igglybuff and Cleffa, which are both Gen 2 Pokemon, evolve into fairy types, and they might even be fairy types. Darn it. I've got nothing. I hoped I could guess it just by thinking about it. I'm so tempted to get online and just kind of, you know, like scroll through Gen 2 Pokemon, but I'm going to have to call it good.
I feel like you should at least ask what it looks like prior.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. So what does it look like? Can you give me a general idea?
Well, I'm going to say that it's kind of based on an animal.
Okay. Oh, why didn't I think of this? Okay, so it could be Sentret?
Sentret is correct.
Okay, why didn't I think about that? There's always a generic kind of, you know, like rodent-like Pokemon in every single generation that
is... It's not a rodent, it's a flying squirrel. Are flying squirrels rodents?
It's not a flying squirrel. It evolves into a ferret, which is like a ferret.
Yeah, when it evolves, but it starts out looking kind of like a flying squirrel, kind of like Mario in Mario 3.
It's a rodent.
I don't know about a rodent. It's so
cute. Oh, I'm glad... Oh, gosh, I'm glad that you let me ask another question.
I shouldn't have let you.
Pushed me in the right way.
Hey, Holly, if you just ask one more question, I think you might get it. I was your angel on the left shoulder, you know?
I should have. Yeah. Well, thanks.
No problem. But
for being that.
You are the winner is you, Holly. You got it correct. Luckily, I hope everyone listening was not screaming into their microphone too loudly.
They were. They were.
It's time to now not ask you or me. It's time to ask everybody. See what
okay.
I did there?
Okay. Yeah. Nice rhyming skills there.
I tried.
Anybody want a peanut?
I'd feel good with a peanut.
All right, so this week we have, as usual, a Pokemon for you, the listeners, to guess. You can guess on Twitter using hashtag NFPokemon, or you can tag us on Twitter and let us know what your guess is. So for your hints for this week's Pokemon, this is a Generation 5 Pokemon. So take all those Gen 5 Pokemon that you know and love. I didn't love Gen 5 that much, honestly, but those Gen 5s that you love and get them all in your head, start thinking about those. This is a single-type Pokemon. It's only got one type, and that type is Fighting. It is a Fighting-type Pokemon. Moving on to Evolution. It has no evolution. It doesn't evolve into anything, and it doesn't evolve from anything. With all those guesses, you should have an idea in mind of who it is. You might have two, actually. That might be a bit of a hint, but you might have two ideas in mind at this point. But the hint that will give it away if you know your Pokemon is the fact that this Pokemon has red skin. Kind of an important detail, because it kind of has a counterpart. Almost like Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan. I feel like these two Pokemon are kind of the Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan of Generation 5 a little bit. So it has red skin. So again, send your guesses to us on Twitter at hashtag NFPokemon. Tag us in Twitter. We'll give you our handles at the end of the show. So yeah, send in your guesses, Pokemon Masters.
I just looked up this Pokemon. it's kind of a every once in a while you look up a Pokemon and I almost feel like, I don't know about you, okay, but I feel like sometimes you look at these Pokemon and you're like, they tried really hard on this one. Like, they tried really, really, really hard to say, like, this works, right? Right? Everyone agrees with this, right? And it's like, I don't know about that.
Tumbleweeds.
I mean, there's just so many. Even, like, everyone loves the sandcastle in this generation. Like, but I don't know if everyone, like, legitimately likes it. Or if
everyone
just
loves
kind of,
Grubbin.
Or if
they're
just
making fun of it.
Exactly.
Secretly.
Like, everyone's like, there's a sandcastle, guys. We have a sandcastle that is a Pokemon. There's no rhyme or reason to what a Pokemon is anymore, right? Like,
well, not really, but they can do it purely because of the ghost type. I kind of just, you know, put all the blame on the ghost type because, you know, a ghost can inhabit anything. And so this is kind of like, and the Sandcastle Pokemon in this current generation actually has like an interesting Pokedex entry where I think like I don't know, it probably has something to do with like children's regrets or even dead children's regrets or
goodness,
something like that. Go look up the Pokedex entries. They get really dark this generation. And so it's a ghost type. And so that's kind of, you know, that's how it works.
Okay, now that you said ghost type, I'll be honest, that does work a little better, but it is just weird, right? Like, I'm not crazy for thinking it's a little weird that there's like a sandcastle that is a Pokemon, right?
No, one of my least favorite Pokemon designs ever, I think it's a Gen 5 one, it's Trubbish, and it is just a pile of quote-unquote rubbish, and they called it Trubbish, and I'm just like, that's dumb.
They tried.
And then it evolves
really
into
the
most hideous, hideous thing ever. Like,
Trashous?
I hate that Pokemon, and is that the name of it? Have you looked it up
know.
Already?
No, I have not. I'm just assuming.
Probably. I don't remember the name of its evolution, but man, that's just ugly and a bad idea. As far as designs go, though, I think that this current generation, Gen 5, has some really awesome Pokemon designs overall. I don't think it has any dumb ones.
Besides the sandcastle.
That's not quite as dumb as a pile of garbage, in my opinion.
Okay, very true. Well, thank you so much for all you listeners who participate with the NF Pokemon. Please, when you do hashtag NF Pokemon when you try to make a guess for what Holly's talking about with this one. Tag myself or Holly just so we can see it. Cause sometimes if you don't tag one of us, it's hard to always remember to go and check that hashtag. So it's just kind of a nice reminder just to like, oh yeah, just double check that people are making guesses if they are. It's been fun doing all this Pokemon at the beginning of the show. I don't know for sure, Holly. And obviously I haven't spoke to you yet, and I'm kind of throwing it out to both you and the listeners, but going into the next year, when we are no longer a part of the 20th anniversary of Pokemon, do we want to continue with the Who's That Pokemon segment on the show?
Maybe not. I don't know.
It's a tough call. So we want to throw it to you guys.
Maybe if we get one guess from someone other than Gentis and Ivan
I like that
this
idea.
Week,
I like that.
Because I mean, we have at least two fans of the Who's That Pokemon section. I kind of enjoy it, even though sometimes I completely fail at my, you know, part of it. Maybe we could just get rid of my part of guessing.
I think
a little funner for the listeners.
See, I think your part of guessing is actually the whole fun of it. Watching you squirm when you're trying to figure out what the Pokemon is. That's the fun. Yes, I want to throw it out to everybody listening. If you are interested in seeing NF Pokemon come back next season, quote unquote next year, let us know. If you don't want to see it come back for next year, don't say anything. We'll see what happens.
That will speak volumes by itself.
Honestly. Okay. Next past Pokemon, I want to talk about some swag. Not because I got anything exciting, because I honestly have not got anything. All I bought these past couple of weeks is just the Pokemon game that I've been playing and stuff. So
let's talk about what we wish we had gotten.
Exactly.
That's the Zelda amiibo, darn it.
I feel like I failed, Holly. I feel like a failure for not buying these amiibo immediately.
Yeah, you should.
You didn't get them either.
I have an excuse.
Yeah,
I left my wallet in a restroom at a Krispy Kreme shop.
Oh,
darn it. I've got everything taken care of, you know, got a new, you know, card on the way, debit card and things on the way. Everything's taken care of, but I still feel so ditzy about that.
Pretty hilarious, but I guess it does give you a decent reason to not get these. My reason's pretty bad myself, because I kind of forgot about them. Not that I forgot they existed, but like I had no idea that they were like coming out this week. So when everybody started posting pictures, I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? Like, these are out? Oh man.
These are out? You probably just kind of automatically assumed that they would come out with Breath of the Wild, because that's aside from, like, I think the Link ones will work with Super Smash Bros., but aside from that and, you know, a few other things that they probably work with now, it's Breath of the Wild that we're waiting for them to have neat functionality.
Very true, but none of these are Breath of the Wild themed, so maybe that's why we shouldn't have assumed that. You know, obviously we have the 8-bit Link amiibo, which I think looks not as good as I was hoping it would look.
It's got a little pixel sword on its back.
That is
how much cooler.
But its nose is terrifying.
Okay, I'll have to look at the picture again.
I think its nose is terrifying.
So it's kind of like a derpy Marth face.
Kinda.
Repeat.
Well, not quite like that. It's just a big block, obviously, because it's 8-bit. It just kind of looks funky. I think the Ocarina of Time one is probably the standout one. Like, yes,
that's the one that I was going to just get. You know, I don't even really want the others too much. I was just going to get the Ocarina of Time one, because that game is just, to me, my childhood in game form. I swear I adore that game more than I can express.
And I really like the Wind Waker one, just because I think because of the art style of Wind Waker, I think it looks really well. I mean, it kind of fits the theme of amiibo and the toy aspect of it and everything. Like, it looks really good because of that. But I just think that the Ocarina of Time one just looks kind of stunning in a lot of respects. Like, it's just a really good looking amiibo.
Yeah, it kind of, you know, is modeled after that art of, you know, Link just kind of like really emotional. He looks emotional even though his eyes are closed, but he's playing the ocarina and there's just quite a bit of expression there, I guess. I don't know.
I think I think the reason why I like it so much is it looks very anime. It looks very manga inspired almost. Like, it looks less like the
video art
game.
For that game does feel that way.
Especially because, like, obviously it was made for the Nintendo 64, which was not a graphic powerhouse. So, like, when you go back and you look at some of, like, the manuals or, like, some of the stuff that was around the game itself, like, you see this art style, and that's the art style that it obviously looked like. And there's just something very anime about it to me. And that's kind of one of the things I like about it.
Yeah. So, Are you regretting not buying, like, every single one of them, or do you just kind of want to get one or two of these packs?
I definitely regret not getting the Ocarina of Time one overall, but I do want the 8-bit amiibo, the 8-bit...
Despite the nose,
just because I like the 8-bit style on anything. And the Wind Waker, here's the thing, is yes, I would love to buy them all. I would have never been able to convince my wife to let me buy them all, mind you, but if I had to pick just one, then my regret would definitely be the Ocarina of Time one.
Oh, you'd get the... Okay.
I think so.
That kind of surprises me, considering how much you seem to love the Legend of Zelda on NES.
I love it, but it's not about that. It's about the...
That ugly nose. I finally looked up a picture, and I don't know.
It's so big.
There's, like, one little block that they kind of stuck out for the nose, and I'm like... I feel like they could have made that flat and it would have looked a little better. I don't know. I wish I had, I don't have it here. I guess I could reach for it. But my, my 8-bit Mario amiibo, I'm trying to remember whether that one had a kind of ugly nose.
I feel like it probably did, but it was like almost okay because you imagine Mario with a big nose because he has a mustache and everything. So like you imagine mm-hmm. that big nose, so it makes sense. But when you look at this picture, obviously the 8-bit picture that's right behind the amiibo case, there is no nose. You know, it's just flat.
Right.
So then when you look down and you see the amiibo, you see this giant block sticking out from his face. It doesn't look natural. I mean, obviously I'm talking about a toy based on a video game, but still. I'm just saying it does not look natural.
Huh. I wouldn't mind having this one, but it's not like my top priority. Ocarina of Time's definitely my top priority. I just, you know, the Wind Waker ones, they're great. And it's cool that we have a, is it Tetra or Zelda design? Tetra's kind of like the pirate persona.
Yeah, this is Zelda.
This is the Zelda. Okay, yeah. that's cool that we have that amiibo now. But we already have a Toon Link amiibo.
That's what I was
gonna say. I
feel
like it's a little bit redundant. And I know we already have, like, you know, a regular Link amiibo. But, man, Ocarina of Time Link. There's just nothing beats Ocarina of Time.
It's so different when they change the game series. It means more.
Obviously, I'm blinded by nostalgia here a little bit. But, yeah, Ocarina of Time, definitely the one that I would like.
Man,
so far, they don't seem to be, like, too hard to get. Like, on Amazon last time I checked, they were available.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of surprising.
That is, actually.
So I don't think that they're super, you know, scarce.
Do you remember when there used to be a time when we used to, like, talk about amiibo all the time? Like,
yeah,
all the time we would talk about amiibo, and now, like, this
be
is,
like, I got a Rosalina, yes!
Now it's just, like, it means nothing as much. Like, obviously, like, they've died down in scarcity a lot is a big reason why. But then also, I just feel like we haven't had a release for a really long time. We're still waiting for the final release of the Smash Brothers series. We have not gotten Bayonetta, yeah. And we have not gotten Cloud yet, which we're supposed to.
Corrin as
and
well.
Corrin as well. So we're still waiting for more Smash Brothers, which I'm going to. I never wanted to complete any set, obviously, just because I'm not that kind of that collector mentality necessarily.
Right.
I just want to collect the people that I use a lot of times in Smash Brothers, and I do like to use Cloud a lot, and I just think it's so cool to have this Sony thought of character, because obviously he's not owned by Sony, but like Final Fantasy VII was published by Sony, so it's so weird to see this like character that you associate with PlayStation so much, and it's going to be made by Nintendo. I think that's so cool. I can't wait for that.
I might get it. Gosh, I gotta play more Final Fantasy first though.
Nah.
To really be interested in that type of thing.
Nah.
Hey, I'm an RPG fan. I almost feel like, you know, I'm kind of a disappointment to the world of RPGs because I'm an RPG fan who doesn't play a lot of Final Fantasy.
From
but
my
hey.
Understanding, you should get Final Fantasy IV for the DS because that's the better of the remakes of them. And I heard that
okay.
that was really good. So I don't know. Are you still trying to go through one through whatever, though? Are you going to try to do them numerically?
Yeah, I think I will still try to do that sort of kind of, yeah, maybe, I don't know.
That's a big no. That's a big, big no.
Yeah, I mean, the original, it's going to be tough to get through. I'd like to play a significant chunk of the original. Like, I never really got out of the first area of the original. I just spent so much time grinding because I've heard that you need to grind a lot in this game. But I'd kind of like to start over, actually, on the NES Classic, because I feel like that is just the way to play these three games.
I feel
NES
like,
Classic.
I feel like you've hurt yourself by the enjoyment of these games. Now, here, this is what I'm talking about. I mean, listeners, please throw out your thoughts as well on this, because you don't like The Legend of Zelda, and one of the reasons why you don't like the original Legend of Zelda is the expiration, and I know that like you're like, I don't know where to go, I don't know what to do. This is going to sound really weird, ready for this? I feel like you feel that you need to know what you're doing instead of just enjoying the game on its own. Does that make sense? Kind of like,
yeah,
especially when
but
you're
also,
like,
but also, I don't know, every dang square I go in, there's obviously enemies, no big deal, but combat is just to me so not fun that even just moving around the world is a massive pain in the bum.
Well, that's definitely a part
I
of
normally
like
wouldn't
the
use that word.
I think that's definitely the sign of the times, obviously, for the evolution of the game, but I feel like with Final Fantasy and the way that you're saying that I was trying to grind because I heard it was really difficult. Like, nobody did that back in the day because they just went out and they played the adventure and they hit a hurdle at some point and then they started grinding.
And then
after
they probably
that.
Just oh, or I was
they
say
quit.
They probably just quit,
yeah,
right?
One or the other. But my point
no
is,
biggie.
Is I feel like you're already so like caught up in what you're supposed to do. You're not just doing. That makes sense at all?
Oh yeah, that's me and my blogging career right there, in fact. Like, I sometimes think like, oh, I have to play this game that's actually pretty fun.
Yes.
But I want to play something else. Oh, like I'm always like that. Plus my backlog just gets bigger and bigger and I I'm so overwhelmed. So overwhelmed. I'm trying to get over that mentality, but it's not working
out
so far.
It's also exciting when you finally do beat a video game. Like, I'm excited because, like, I've kind of made it a goal of mine to, like, eventually beat this Pokemon game. And I figure if I can just play a couple hours a night, like, it's going to take me a while, but that's fine. I don't buy every new video game that comes out anyways. But, like, it is exciting that the thought process of, like, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to play the story. I don't know if I'll do, like, the after-game content or whatever, but, like, the story mode of Pokemon is something that, like, is a goal of mine to beat because I do want to get past that hurdle of, like, backlogs and stuff like that. But I think we've talked enough about of what we wished we would have got for recent swag. Did you get any recent swag?
I did not, but you can bet your bottom dollar that next week I'll be talking about some Symphony of the Goddesses merch.
Yes,
so excited.
You'll be talking about the thing that you did yesterday, the stuff that you got that you can bring next time to the show after.
That's about right.
Okay. So let's talk about what came out this last week. The stuff that you'll be playing up until next Thursday. We don't have anything too exciting, necessarily, but we have some stuff that I definitely would like to hear your thoughts about, Holly.
Sure.
On the 3DS, we have three games, Super Mario Maker 4, the Nintendo 3DS, and then I believe these next two games are actually only for the new Nintendo 3DS. I'm not 100% sure, but I thought they were, Cup Critters and Hyper Light EX, and then for the Wii U, we have Advance Wars Dual Strike. And then Shoot the Ball. Now, I want to save Super Mario Maker last because I just kind of want to hear if you have you ever played an Advance Wars game before, Holly?
I have. I played the first one once it actually hit the Wii U Virtual Console, and so I didn't get that far into it.
I feel
the
bad.
Strategy started becoming quite difficult for me, so I was just like, I don't know if I'm ever going to beat this.
Right?
And if I don't beat it, I can't very well move on to the next game, can I?
Logic right there. I feel bad for anyone that buys it for the Wii U, only because it's such a portable game.
See how much a cart of that is, then.
I've never cared a whole lot for the Virtual Console, you know, the DS games and the Game Boy Advance games. I think me and you have been kind of on the same page. And the majority of people, honestly, are like, yes, I think you should be able to enjoy the experiences regardless. But some of these games are very much made for the platform that they're designed for, which is an obvious statement. I know, that's a very, very obvious thing to say for me. But Dual Strike is just one of those types of awesome RPG RTS games that is so heavily
based. Does it have
based.
RPG elements?
I thought
because I mean these
upgrades.
Are more strategy. These are more strategy based than Fire Emblem.
Yes.
Emblem's got a lot of RPG element to it.
Now, and it's been a while since I played an Advance Wars game, but I did think you do like upgrade your troops a little bit. Like there are like certain there's very small. You know, just that basic mentality of, like, upgrading, I guess. That's kind of
yeah,
where
that might
from.
Be true. Not, like, individual units, because, you know, units are expendable in these games.
Yes.
Just totally different in Fire Emblem, unless you don't care about your characters.
The art style in the Advance Wars games are so cool, too. Like, just, like, the very, like, over-the-top cartoony style. It feels
yeah, it's
like
got a good
playing,
feel. Good vibe.
It feels like you're playing with, like, army men. Like as a kid, like that's what it looks like when they're going to battle and stuff, and it's just it's a really fun game, but it's so much I really feel like the Advanced War games in any game most of the time that is meant for the DS, like they're meant for these like smaller experienceable times. And you got to remember, one of the best features about the DS was you could close it and it would go to sleep and you could put it down and then you could come back later. You don't get to do that with the Wii U. Even if you do the save states and kind of use it like that, it's not the same. You're not.
Like, I guess not.
You're not like at your house playing it for 20 minutes. Your mom calls you and you're like, oh, we got to go. Okay, so you put it in your pocket. You get in the car. When you get in the car, then you pull it back out and you start playing it. Like these games are meant for that sort of portability. So
you're making me want a Nintendo Switch so bad right now.
I know. And that's kind of where I was coming from. Is I was just like, can't wait for the Switch when all this becomes a reality again.
Yay!
I hope so, but I wanted to hear your thoughts about Advance Wars at all, just to hear if you have any experience with the series. I like the series a whole lot, especially the second one for the DS, which I think was called Dawn of War. Man, what was that game called? Dust of Strike?
I might still have it up. Maybe Days of Ruin.
Days of Ruin.
Is that
yes,
it?
That was what it was called. It was actually that's one of the few times where a Nintendo Japanese franchise was made a game in the West that did not go to the Japan. The sequel to Advance Wars Days of Ruin is not available in Japan, I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure
fair enough.
Pretty sure that's an accurate statement. But the other game, obviously, that's kind of notability this week is that little game called Hyper Light EX. Yeah, I think most people are pretty... No, I'm kidding, obviously. Super Mario Maker for the Nintendo 3DS. Holly, you going to buy this game?
Yes. probably not. Maybe if it becomes like a Nintendo Selects title later on and, you know, being able to... It's like you were just saying, I mean, being able to play games on the go. That's kind of a cool thing that you can do. But I feel like, I don't know, the definitive experience is kind of on Wii U because the 3DS version is limited. And it does have at least one, like, kind of new feature through Street Pass. You can kind of like, I don't know... kind of co-build levels with other people somehow, or maybe that's just through like local wireless you can do that. But you know, other than that, this game actually is a little bit crippled compared to the Wii U version, and so I feel like, you know, I'm not paying $40 full 3DS game price for a game that I pretty much already have on the Wii U.
Yeah, I think Nintendo did a bad job with this, and I mainly mean that because the Wii U version sold so well. You know, it's one of the few success stories on the Wii U is that Super Mario Maker.
Yeah, keep it exclusive.
Exactly. Super Mario Maker did a very good job in what it sold. You know,
we had a great game of the month as well. Club.
Probably the most successful game of the month for us,
honestly. Yeah, that was awesome. We gave away something. I don't remember what, but we had a bunch of people.
Gold Mario Amiibo.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
How much fun was that?
Yeah,
good times.
Rose F. Death, he gave us an Amiibo that we were able to give away, and we got, I think it was 12 entries total. And it was just a great time.
He came
time.
On the show and was one of the judges, and
it really was. It was
super fun.
It was a great time. And
complete opposite for this release, sadly.
Yeah, there's nothing exciting about this, and a big reason is because it's basically a stripped down port. You know, there's nothing exciting about this. This, yes, there's 100 Mario Challenger, like there's like a very thrown together like a story mode.
Some new Nintendo developed levels that you can play.
But they're
Yay.
Not real Mario levels. That's the thing that keeps holding me back from like kind of considering that a reason to buy it, is when you buy like New Super Mario Brothers, that is a Mario game. This is not a Mario game. This is a tool set that people threw stuff together. And yes, it's very fun. I'm not saying it's not fun by any means, but it is by no means a Mario game. This is not a mainstream, you know, mainline, and just even the quality is not of the same kin. It's just not. That's just the reality of it. And to remove so many of the online features that made Super Mario Maker for the Wii U such a satisfying and addictive game. I remember when we first got it and we were first going back and forth and playing it, all the stuff that we did with it, obviously. I remember I spent hours playing it like I was watching YouTube. You know, as soon as I beat a level, all these other levels just start scrolling through after you're done with it. And you just like click it and you play it. And then you play it and you beat it or you don't beat it. And then you pick another one. Like it felt like YouTube in so many ways to me. And that's what kept me addicted for such a long time.
Yeah, super fun. Really fun, actually, to play with multiple people, just passing the controller back and forth. My sister and I actually would do that occasionally. I did it at some parties, like with people just, you know, local, because, you know, online gaming isn't the only kind of multiplayer gaming that you could do, believe it or not. and then I did some more with my family, you know, just passing the controller back and forth. Super fun, super fun.
Yeah. Just kind of, I'm not going to buy it. There's nothing that is exciting to me about this release, and it's kind of sad, but that's just reality of it. I don't know. That's about it for the out this week. Sadly, a pretty big Nintendo game we're going to be missing out on because it just makes absolutely no sense to be releasing it on the 3DS in this scenario.
Yeah.
I mean,
good for you people who didn't buy a Wii U who are able to experience this. But still, it's like you say, Matt. I mean, this sold very well for a Wii U game.
I would even wager to say that Yoshi, when that made the jump to the 3DS, I don't think that should have made the jump either. I think that one...
Yeah,
felt,
come on.
I really, like, some of these games, I don't mind if they make the jump. I can't think of anything else on the top of my head right now that made, like, the ported jump. Obviously, there's been some Wii games that made the jump over, which I thought was kind of a neat thing to see happen. Not a necessity by any stretch, but, and I mean, we're seeing it happen more towards the end of the life cycle of the Wii U, because they're trying, I think, to recoup some of those costs. But I just feel like some of these games, it almost hurts the Wii U version by having it available on the 3DS. No, I don't think Super Mario Maker was going to sell like a ton more or anything like that. But something like Yoshi, I think it did hurt it a lot. I mean, even if it was only going to sell however many more, but you no longer have to get it because you can just get the 3DS version. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't like the idea of porting some of these bigger games to these other platforms personally. I just feel like it hurts it a little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah, the Wii U, I mean, gosh, it struggles enough on its own, Nintendo. Mm. Don't make things even worse by making these amazing Wii U exclusive games not exclusive anymore. I mean, yes, it's going to another Nintendo platform, but still, man, that just devalues the Wii U even more. Poor thing.
I agree with you. Well, moving on to the stuff that was out, we'd love to hear your guys' thoughts, though, on this. I would especially. Are you going to get the Super Mario Maker for the Nintendo 3DS? I'd love to hear, if you are, what your reason is. If it's basically as simple as, I just never owned a Wii U, so I'm going to get it for my 3DS. Or if, for some reason, there's something that is exciting to you about the 3DS version that you really want to explore or get it for that reason. I'd love to hear about it, personally. So hit me up on Twitter, handles at the end of the show, if you don't already know it. Now we're going to move on, though, from the stuff that was out to the stuff we've been playing. I, myself, have been completely submerged when I have the ability and the chance to play Pokemon. I'm really, really, really enjoying it a lot. So I'm not going to start, because I think you're going to talk about a game that's different than Pokemon, correct?
Yes, I am.
Great. So let's start with you, because I want to hear about it.
Kirby Planet Robobot. Oh, yeah.
Tell me about this game.
Well, I heard, for one thing, you know, when this game came out, I heard that it was a lot better than Triple Deluxe, which I think people felt like that game was just a little bit, you know, generic. Like, Kirby's getting so dry and generic and boring and formulaic and things like that. But I heard that Planet Robobot was different. It was better and so on and so forth. It had some good gimmicks to make it interesting and fun. Played the demo a while back, and after I played the demo, I was like, I gotta get this game. I'm not gonna, you know, like, shell out the $40 for it right now, but I'll put it on my wish list. It'll be right at the top. I put it, you know, high priority on my Amazon wish list and everything like that. And I did end up getting it, of course, for my birthday, as I mentioned last week. And so much fun! The soundtrack, before I forget, I just have to say, Kirby games usually have really great soundtracks. This game is no different. I love the soundtrack in Kirby Planet Robobot. That is very good. One of the strong points. Visually, it's actually pretty creative in some respects. Like, for example, there's this, like, kind of town that you traverse. Or it could be a whole area with, like, multiple levels with kind of this same kind of design thing. But you've got houses in the background that are actually shaped like juice boxes, kind of, with straws sticking out and everything. So there actually is a lot of creativity in the visuals, and things only get better as you keep going. The game sticks really well, as far as visuals go, to the whole kind of, like, mech and, you know, futuristic, lots of technology, that kind of motif, and so does the music, and it all kind of, you know, comes together in a very nice package as far as presentation goes. And then the ideas, it's got some really awesome ideas. I'm not sure, I don't, you know, I haven't grown up playing, like, every single Kirby game ever, so I'm not sure what power-ups are new to this game. So actually, I'm gonna ask you, Matt, is the Archer power, is that something that you've experienced before in a Kirby game?
Now,
I feel like that one might be new.
When you say Archer, do you get a bow and arrow?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't remember there being a bow and arrow.
Oh my gosh, there's my favorite new power up.
Kind of like an archer person or whatever, but yeah.
Cutter.
Yeah, like the cutter is kind of what I was thinking of, but I do think the Archer one is new because I've been seeing really good memes about the Archer, so I'm assuming it must
really
be a new one, yes.
Yeah, it's one of the coolest things about being a Archer Kirby is that you crouch down and then you hit the attack button. And when you crouch down, Kirby kind of, like, dives behind this, like a cardboard cover thing. And it's kind of visually different every time he dives behind it. Like, it can be one of those generic, like, star blocks that he dives behind, or a bush. And then you hit the attack button and he just his body kind of slides out just a little bit, and he just shoots arrows really low against the ground, but his body kind of, like, pops out, and it's the cutest thing. And with that, actually, there are a lot of instances where, like, Kirby's interactions and reactions to things are actually super, like, cute and clever and charming. Like, even when Kirby gets hit by something in kind of an unusual way, like, I think with Triple Deluxe, this kind of returns from Triple Deluxe, there are, like, these giant, there's, like, two planes, I guess, to take advantage of the 3D, there's, like, kind of two planes where you can actually be at any given time. And sometimes things in the background will, like, kind of pop forward. And if Kirby gets hit by one of those, he'll you know, smash against the screen. Or if he gets smushed by something, he'll, you know, make this kind of cute, sad little sound that, oh, I just got hit. And then he'll, you know, flatten into something and then puff back up. And a lot of cute little animations. And so it is kind of a kid's series. So you know, those types of things are kind of for the kids. But they're for people like me, too, where I don't like a huge difficulty in my games. Whenever I die or get hit or whatever, just the fact that Kirby is so cute kind of like lessens the impact of like, oh dang it, I just got hit or lost all my health. But again, as far as like level designs go and creativity and ideas, this game is just chock full of them. And this brings me to the best part of this game, and it is the mech suit and its various power-ups. Like, you can absorb all the power-ups that you can as regular Kirby as the robot. And you get different effects from what Kirby does normally as the robot. And some of these things are just, I mean, you feel like a powerhouse in this thing. And it is awesome. And the game sets up some really, really epic fights in this mech suit. Good puzzles, as usual with Kirby games. Lots of different collectibles, including stamps. You can collect stamps that you can put on your mech. And I always love collectibles that actually, you know, do something useful. So you want to collect them for a reason other than being like, oh, look, I 100% in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So as usual, you know, it's a good, it's got a lot of like little secrets and discoveries. And there's another collectible, actually, code cubes, I think is what they are. And this is almost like, you know, there's three per level. It almost makes me think of like star coins from New Super Mario Bros. Three per level. But if you can collect all within one world, then you can unlock like a special level in that world. And those special levels are always such a joy. They have like classic music kind of rebooted to sound kind of mechanized and stuff to fit with the theme again.
Hmm.
But yeah, overall, I think this game, I mean, it plays a lot better than it looks. Being in the mech in particular is just oodles of fun.
It does look exciting. I'm not going to say that it doesn't look good at all. I don't know why, but this game just looked unique. I remember when it was first revealed. I think it was either, wasn't it last E3 probably?
Can't remember, sadly.
I can't remember if it was last E3 or the E3 before that. I do remember we had Wii Guy something 83 on.
Oh yeah,
on that episode. I don't know why I can't think of his name, but he was on, he was talking, and he seemed like legit excited for Kirby. And I remember I was the downer on the whole thing. I was just like, this looks like not fun. So like I keep hearing a lot of positive things about it. This is one of those Kirby games that when eventually I will get it, and I know I'll regret that I didn't get it when it first came out for that reason. Like, I know it definitely seems like a game that I'm gonna enjoy. Yeah, it sounds like it's fun. It sounds like you're having a great time with it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I know.
For those of you who are on the fence, go get it, man. Try out the demo. The demo actually sold me on it, and it ended up being even more fun than I thought it would be.
I know that on Twitter, Factor,
he was sold on it simply after our last episode.
Yeah, he loved hearing what you had to say about it, so he went out and he bought it right away because of that reason, so. Obviously, some people are enjoying it, and I think that's always a positive. As long as you guys enjoy what you're playing, it doesn't matter anything what we think about the game and stuff. So, but I have been playing Pokemon. So I was going to talk a little bit more about Pokemon. I don't want to bore anybody. Obviously, it's obviously already almost gotten old. It's kind of funny, like, not old as in, like, nobody's doing it or playing it anymore, but, like, it's just, it's 2 weeks old, so it's kind of crazy how quickly time moves on. I'm very disappointed. I want to talk to you about, I've been trying to post pictures on Miiverse, and you can't post pictures on Miiverse.
Oh, that's what you're disappointed about. Yeah, you couldn't do that with any of the previous Pokemon games on the 3DS, actually.
Well, that's really not cool. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, it is weird. It's like, Nintendo, I want to show off my amazing Pokemon.
Especially because, I don't know if it's possible yet, but is there a way to take a picture in-game, kind of like in Animal Crossing, where you can take a picture in-game and then post it into social media stuff? You know,
no, I don't think that's possible, except just with the PokeFinder thing, where you can save things to your SD card. But that's just, you know, those particular spots where you can take a picture of the Pokemon, which I've actually been enjoying that a lot more. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but That was a lot funner than I thought it was going to be, Pokefinder.
Yeah, there's so many cool little, like, mini-game type things. And then the other thing that I want to talk about when it came to Pokemon is your thoughts and opinions on the fact that there's no 3D. I was pretty surprised. I remember I tried to turn the 3D on immediately, and it didn't work. And I was like, okay, maybe this one cutscene at the very beginning of the game isn't available in 3D. And then as I'm playing the game, nothing is available to be played in 3D. And I just think that's so weird that they're on their marquee handheld, okay, and its biggest feature on the handheld is 3D, and it's not taking advantage of it at all. I was very surprised by that, and I don't know if it says something about the fact that Nintendo is just very, very much done with 3D as a gimmick use thing. I mean, they could have produced this game.
I wouldn't say that.
I mean, they're one of their biggest marquee titles is not using the feature at all.
Well, it makes sense to Pokemon fans who played Gen 6, because starting with Gen 6, which was the first generation to appear on the 3DS, the only thing that was in 3D in Gen 6, as in X and Y, and Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, I think, as well, the only thing in 3D were the battles, I believe. There might have been one or two other elements that were in 3D, but basically it was just kind of the battling. And if you turn on the 3D in the middle of a battle, and I even tested this out on the new 3DS versus the regular 3DS, the frame rate drops so bad that it's painful. You cannot play Pokemon battles in 3D comfortably, and so I think that Pokemon Company just decided to abandon that feature altogether. I don't think it was like, you know, Nintendo, like, for, well, I don't know, when did Kirby Planet Robobot come out? Because that game actually uses, I've been playing that in 3D. The 3D is really subtle but so important when you're playing on those levels with two different layers, I guess, of the level. And so I don't know, I feel like Nintendo hasn't abandoned it. It's just a Pokemon thing, because, you know, there's nothing much you can do that's super innovative with Pokemon and 3D.
Yeah, but sometimes just playing in 3D is kind of the nice benefit of having a 3DS. I mean, I get where you're coming from, and if it's to make the game better, I would way prefer them just say, like, we're just not going to do it because it makes the game a better game as a whole if we don't include 3D in it. So I'm totally fine with that. I have no issue with it at all. I just find it very weird. Maybe weird's the wrong word. I just find it very ominous or very telling that the system, even though its biggest feature is 3D, it doesn't have to be in 3D. And what I mean by that is, like, it's not, like, sometimes, like, certain, like, I know that for the Wii U, or not the Wii U, but the Wii, when it first came out, developers were required to use certain aspects of the Wii to be able to develop a game for it. You know, be like the gyroscope or the pointer functionality. Like, there were like guidelines, like, for the game to be, for us to approve it, you have to have these features for it. And it's just surprising to me that one of those features for the 3DS is not the actual 3D aspect of it on itself. And maybe it's because Pokemon Company is, you know, quote unquote bigger than the majority of other publishers that make games for it. But there's been a large slew of games, mainly indie and stuff on the eShop, that don't use the 3D function. So I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I feel like Nintendo kind of just abandoned
the
whole
idea
back when the 2DS came out, if not before then.
I think a little before then, and then that was
the 2DS
kind of
just
that was proof that they had for that. They were like, "We're done. We're done, guys. We're done." So
yeah, Super Mario 3D Land, and what else? What else actually kind of used 3D? Oh, Pushmo actually was kind of a smaller game that I thought used 3D really well, as well as Legend of Zelda: A Link. Let's see, Between Worlds.
Yes,
kind of get things mixed up, but that game actually benefited from 3D.
Man, how many?
And some other games might benefit a little bit from it too, but yeah, most games, not much.
How many Legend of Zelda games came to the 3DS? I was just thinking about that. We had both
exclusive ones?
Not exclusive, I mean just in general. We had both of the N64
three?
Games. We had the one that...
Hopefully we're not counting Virtual Console titles, because then it'll take forever for us to count them.
No, not Virtual Console games, but then Link Between Worlds. Then we had the one that was a dungeon crawler.
Oh, Triforce Heroes.
Triforce Heroes. Was there...
That's not a dungeon crawler.
Well, I mean, technically, right? Like, you're going through a dungeon?
Well, I don't know. I feel like a dungeon crawler, like, has to have almost... Well, I don't know.
Roguelike elements to it, is what you're thinking?
Yeah. Yeah.
But those are... There are four separate Legend of Zelda games that came to the... That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I guess so.
That's a lot of Zelda for one system. And then you look at the Wii U and it got two ports.
Yikes.
Nothing original. And even the one original game is going to be shared with a better system. Bazing.
Yeah, that was one thing I was really sad about with that. I feel like, I mean, just get rid of the Wii U version and just optimize it for the Switch at this point, because the Wii U is not going to get its own exclusive Zelda game, so just drop the whole idea of
a
brand new Zelda being on Wii U.
That'd be pretty crazy if there was obviously it didn't get its own Wii U, which is the first time any major Nintendo platform that's ever happened to, obviously. But it would just be crazy if it didn't get any sort of original Legend of Zelda game as well, if they were to take it off of the Wii U. Which, at this point, I agree with you in that sense, where I think it would be beneficial to the game if they were to do that. But
But speaking of Zelda, I mean, we got a new trailer this week. And didn't talk pre-show about adding this section in here, but we cannot go without talking about this new trailer.
Okay, well,
let's
move on to the let's move on past this whole what we've been playing segment, just talk about some Legend of Zelda, and then we'll finish it off with the question that we have at the end of it. But yeah, I was really surprised by the trailer. I think it showed off a really nice element to the game that just felt like more, the world itself is more alive than I think we're going to be expected to believe. I think that I think the world's going to be decently alive, but I think it's going to be more alive than what I'm expecting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, based on everything that we saw before this trailer, the world felt kind of lonely, and I think there's almost like a purpose to that, because it's Breath of the Wild and you're supposed to kind of be a little, you know, confused as to like, well, what's going on in this world? Where is everybody? Why are all these ruins around? But there are indeed going to be some different races. We see this new kind of bird-like race. Freaking Falco, man. That's what this bird that appears in this trailer, it just kind of like, you know, appears for a split second. I actually did some pausing to try to get a closer look at this thing, and it took forever. But I finally got a closer look, and it looks like Falco Lombardi. So this will probably be Falco Lombardi's best game in a while. But technically, it's not Falco. Bird-like race of people. Man, that flying ship, like, it shows a flying ship that these bird-like people obviously spend some time in. That's pretty clear. And immediately, Miyazaki vibes. I mean, Nintendo has already stated that, you know, the graphics of this game and the visual style is kind of based on Japanese animation. Not necessarily, you know, strictly anime, and not necessarily like, you know, Studio Ghibli, you know, inspiration or anything like that, but I did get the Miyazaki vibes. Have you seen any Miyazaki movies?
Yes, I've seen Spirited Away, and I've seen the other big one. What's some of them?
There are a lot of big ones.
Yeah, but what are the mainstream ones that made it to America?
They kind of all did. Princess Mononoke was kind of a big one. Howl's Moving Castle was pretty big.
Howl's Moving Castle I watched, and then there was one that was right before Spirited Away that I can't think of the name of it for some reason. But yes,
Castle in the Sky is kind of an older one. That's good. Point being, though, that Miyazaki, you know, loves his flying machines, and as soon as the music and everything in this trailer, you see that flying machine, you hear this music, and it just felt so Studio Ghibli and Hayao Miyazaki to me, and I loved it. It's got its own flavor. Like, it's not just, you know, like, ripping off Studio Ghibli, not by a long shot, but it's
Ponyo,
got that vibe, and
that's
I love it.
That's the one that I saw,
Ponyo. Oh, interesting. That one came out after Spirited Away.
Oh, it did. You're right. Yes, it did.
Yeah. So yeah, Miyazaki vibes, not a bad thing. And then there obviously is the hugest reveal, and that is this female character from the trailer.
Oh yes. Ooh. I wonder who that might be.
Princess Zelda.
No, don't spoil. Spoiler. Everybody.
I don't know. There's a lot of different ideas going around.
Everybody, spoiler. What if you play as her and that's actually Link?
Well, here's the thing. She's dressed a lot like Link is in this game.
I thought that too.
So she could be playable. But the thing is, you see that scene at the very end where Link is kind of like bowing.
But it's not the same person.
What? Who's not the same person?
That's not the same person you're bowing to. Look at the outfit that Link is bowing to at that scene. And then go back to the part where you just see the female that's walking with something in her hand.
Man, are you sure?
I'm positive those are two separate outfits. That is
okay,
because you can see her glove. Look at if you pause it, you'll see her wearing a glove, like a glove that has like almost jewels on it to a point. Like,
yeah.
And then if you go to where Link is bowing, when she brings her arm down, she's not wearing a glove.
Well, she's... Well, never mind. We won't get into those kinds of details.
Technically, she's wearing a glove mat. Okay.
But let's just put our predictions on the record right now. I think that it was Princess Zelda both times, and she's not going to be playable, and there's not going to be a quote-unquote female Link. That's just my prediction for the record. It's bam, it's out there.
I'm just going to go completely opposite of you just for more or less just to be completely opposite. But I think that it was a female Link, and I think that... you are going to have the choice to be a male or female protagonist in this game.
Okay. Should be interesting to find out. I love this trailer so much. What'd you think of the music? Like, I've already said that I love it. It makes me think of Miyazaki movies again, but what did you think of the music in it?
I thought it was really... I thought the whole trailer, it ties together so well. Everything feels very fresh, and the whole agency of it feels very open, and it allows you to explore the world is what this game's going to feel like, I think, a lot of. I feel like this one is going to be one of the least narrative-driven Legend of Zelda games, and I think that it's going to have a lot of open-ended scenarios to it. I mean, I think that a lot of people for a long time have been calling for a very Skyrim approach to the Legend of Zelda series, and I think we're going to kind of get that. I think it's going to be very, very open-winded, where you're going to be allowed to just kind of play the game. You know, I don't think it's going to be so much sandbox, you know, where you're going to have like a role-playing universe where you can kind of do whatever you want to. I just think everything's going to be open-ended and you're going to have a lot of agency in what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that will be true, but I think it'll be more story-driven than we are thinking at this point. And that idea comes from just this really quick view in the trailer of like this creepy kind of black mist shooting all over Hyrule Castle, you know, what is, looks like Hyrule Castle. Anyway, and I don't know, just the fact that Nintendo has kind of talked about how, like, the kind of the point at the beginning, narratively speaking, is, like, go out there and discover for yourself what has become of the Kingdom of Hyrule. And I just feel like there's going to be some really great, you know, story elements and themes. I'm predicting that there will be some significant voice acting. That's crazy to say, but I'm predicting that as well.
No, I don't think that's too crazy to say just because we have kind of already seen that, right? Like, we've seen that kind of already happen with the first trailer for E3 last year, or for this last year. It opened up with, Link, wake up. And it's like, wow, somebody spoke. It wasn't...
Yeah. Well, the biggest indicator to me is actually in the actual live at E3 gameplay that was shown, because they showed, you know, the very beginning of the game a few different times at E3 this year, and every single time they showed it, you could hear the voice. You could hear the actual voice in the actual game and the gameplay, and it's there. There is voice acting. Maybe it won't be super significant, but it's going to be in there, which is kind of crazy. Such excitement, though. I'm so excited.
I agree. I think voice acting will be pretty big. But I think we should move on to our little last bit of information for this episode. I think it kind of fits in nicely with what we've been talking about. It's a question from Cody Hurst. Thank you, Cody, for sending us a question. Anybody can send us a question. podcast@nintendofever.com. No, we don't answer questions every single episode, but we do pull them out of the vault occasionally. So feel free to send us a question, and it may not get read tomorrow, but it will get read eventually. And we do read all the emails that get sent to us, though. Once again, Nintendo Fever. Nope, that is not correct. Erase that from your mind. podcast@nintendofever.com. That simple. But he asks, do specs really matter? I never bought a console based on specs, only games. Why do people care?
Specs, I don't care,
really matter, though,
about specs
at all, in any capacity. Like, if we would have had the Wii U but it still looked like the Wii graphically, would you have been completely okay with that? I don't think,
you know, I might have. I don't know.
You see, I don't
think I just specs... love Nintendo games, you know?
And that's the thing, is I don't think specs matter, but I think they are a understanding or almost like an agreement between us and the company of the games that we buy, that they will be acceptable. And I think the Wii did have acceptable graphics, just like I believe personally the Wii U has acceptable graphics. But if we were to go into from the Wii to the Wii U and it still looked like the Wii, and that would not have been acceptable. That would have not been them keeping a promise to us as a consumer of their products by allowing us to, like, move forward with them. That would be them asking us, like, hey, we want you to stay back just a little bit. You know, and I don't think that you should ever buy a console based on graphics alone, such as, like, you just bought... Holly, you just bought a brand new system.
Did I?
Yes, you did. Just recently.
The NES Classic?
Yes.
I thought you didn't even consider that a system.
I don't, but you do, and everyone else in the world does. But it is technically a system that plays video games, and it has 8-bit graphics. Did that matter?
Not really, but, you know, a price is a huge thing. Like, I feel like Nintendo really has to nail the price with the Switch, for example, because I don't, you know, the Switch probably, due to the sheer fact that it's portable, probably isn't going to, you know, like, match the competition in terms of power. So you better at least make it price, you know, conscious, I guess.
Yeah, I think that.
So price plays a huge thing in things. The NES Classic coming out for $60. I mean, that's just fantastic. And you're totally right, Cody, that it's about the games, and I feel like it should be. But then you're right too, Matt, where, you know, if Nintendo didn't move into HD at least, then the Wii U would have been, you know, pretty disappointing, because at this point you kind of expect that. But as for the current climate, I just barely figured out what 4K refers to. And I'm starting to think, like, these upgrades that we're paying hundreds more dollars for, I feel like they're starting to become so tiny. And it's like, what, you know, is there ever going to be a point at which things kind of plateau? And I feel like maybe we're getting to that point. But the thing with consumers is that they kind of just expect this crazy, like, upward thing, like, you know, the newest and most technologically advanced stuff. Everybody's got to have it. And I hate that mindset, personally, because, again, it's like Cody says, it's all about the games. And that's where I think the Switch can really shine, if Nintendo can really focus on just one console. All of Nintendo's developers are focusing in on just one console, and then we've got some good third parties. I think the Switch could have some amazing games, and I think it will sell really well for that fact. It's all about the games. It should be, anyway.
I completely agree. I think that the Nintendo was correct when they made the Wii, and they said, we're not going to try to chase the HD graphic phenomenon at that time. It was very, very early, and consumers were not adopting the same way that they're adopting to new technology today. And, you know, there's a lot of things that show that. 4K, for instance, is not being adopted at as high a rate as HD 1080p. You got to remember that there's a difference between 720, even 480p, and then 1080p. You know, a large amount of households still have 720p displays, which is not true HD. And then all these other companies who are chasing the 4K, you know, aspect of people, it's funny only because nobody knows what they're missing. They just think they're getting it. And a lot of times they're not. I mean, I had a friend recently who bought a 4K TV because of Black Friday and such. And he was like, everything looks fake. And it's like, well, there's like a motion thing that you can turn off from these TVs.
Yeah,
that makes it look less
on and off.
Yes, exactly. And when it's on, it almost looks like a home video. And some games take advantage of looking really nice like that. Like, I don't know, have you seen the running game Tomb Raider at 4K?
I have not. Look, the running game? What do you mean by that?
I mean the game running. Sorry, I missed.
Oh, okay. I was like, did they make a runner for Tomb Raider?
This might surprise you, but sometimes I speak crazy. Maybe.
All right. Well, no, I haven't.
Look up Tomb Raider running in 4K, because that would be an experience. That would be really, really, really cool to see on a 4K TV. Mind you, I don't have a 4K TV. So, like, the 4K means nothing to me today. But in 10 years, 5 years, you know, down the road, it might mean something to me when I have a TV that I want to try and take all the advantages that I possibly can out of it. But I agree with Cody, obviously, and you as well, Holly. It is about the games at the end of the day. You can look at some really, really, really pretty games. Killer Instincts, for instance, is a very good-looking fighter, but it's by no means any better than any of the other games on the Wii U. You know what I mean? Like, it's no better than any other game because it looks better. You know, it's about how it plays.
It's just about realism to everybody. Everybody's like, oh, look how realistic it is. I'm like, one of the most beautiful games ever made, visually speaking, is The Wind Waker. That came out over 10 years ago now, and it still beats the pants off of most of the quote-unquote ultra-realistic games, in my opinion, purely because it's
art
got
style.
Exactly, and I think that's where it's at for me anyway. That's kind of what I value. If you value your realistic graphics, then whatever, but I personally think they are way, way overrated today. That's the only type of game really that gets any kind of popularity. It's like, oh, look how realistic this new Call of Duty is. Oh,
especially because
I'm like, look how beautiful Zelda is.
It's just because of the amount of things that they're trying to push as realistic type things, like the atmosphere, the events, like everything about this game is completely unrealistic, but we're going to try and make it look as realistic as possible. You know, there is something about the art style and the way that something is presented more than it is displayed or more than what the game is as a whole. And I think sometimes, not that it's forgotten necessarily, I just think sometimes those things are put on the back burner, sadly. But I mean, I think most people, even the people that you are claiming to be, all they care about is realism in their games. Like, I think even they care more about the game itself than they do about how it looks. I mean, there are certain gamers out there, I'm not going to name any names, Johnny, that play all those bro shooters that don't care about good mechanics. They just want to blow things up. I'm kidding, obviously, completely. But I think for the most part, most people care about the gameplay mechanics. Even if you talk to Call of Duty players that do play a lot of Call of Duty, like, they talk about the mechanics of how the game feels to play.
Right.
It's important that the game plays well.
I have a Halo fan friend,
oh, yeah.
And all he can talk about is like, yeah, stealthy, and I like being a sniper, and I'm like, yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
But in reality, they're
too bad the new one is totally inaccessible.
That's what you hear, sadly. But it is important for style over substance in this, substance over style in this scenario. But there does need to be a certain amount of style that makes it okay to like look past other flaws, obviously. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that's about it. Unless you got something else to say about this topic.
No, I think I'm pretty much topicked out.
I do too.
Or specked out, I guess.
We are specked out of this episode. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This was, of course, episode number 85 of the Nintendo Fever podcast. You've been joined by me, myself, Matt. You can find me on Twitter all the time, at OnlyMattDezen. You can find my wonderful co-host, Holly, at
Holly Thelma.
And then you can find the official Nintendo Fever podcast Twitter account at Nintendo Fever. Please send us your emails, podcast@nintendofever.com. Once again, podcast@nintendofever.com. Hit us up with your questions. We'll put them in the vault. We'll throw them out every once in a while, and we'll get some good discussion going on. If there's something you'd like to see in a future episode, also, please let us know. Thank you guys for listening once again. I think that's it, Holly. Until next week, I guess we're done, right?
Oh, we are.
We are all done. Enjoy the Symphony of the Goddesses tomorrow night, which yesterday, which is this last week, right?
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. Holly?
Nailed it.
Goodbye.
See ya.